Alhamdulillah, respected brothers and elders, we are indeed fortunate that we have amidst us Hazrat Mufti Abdul Samad Desai Sahab from the Center Masjid in Pietermaritzburg. He's the Imam there for several years. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, those of you who know him, is doing sterling work there. Besides the Imamat and the Madrasa work he's doing, the Hibs classes, he's running several schools also for the rural, in the rural areas. May Allah accept all his khidmat and he will address us today, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected brothers and elders, the ayat which I recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayat for a specific incident that took place when Makkah was conquered. In fact, detail of this ayat was given by my respected ustad on Tuesday when he had a program here regarding this ayat. But very briefly I will talk on this. During the days of Jahiliyyah, it was the practice of the Mushrikeen that they used to open the door of the Kaaba on a Monday and on a Thursday. And whoever wanted to enter into the Kaaba, they used to enter. On one such occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also wanted to enter the Kaaba. And Usman bin Talha, who was in charge of the key of the Kaaba, was very rude and impolite to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he refused him permission to enter. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Talha, Usman bin Talha, that what will be the case when one day you will see this key of the Kaaba in my hands. Usman bin Talha said, if that is the case, then on that day, the Quraysh will be most disgraced, most zaleel, and most humiliated. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. That time the Quraysh will be most respected and most honored. Nevertheless, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the Kaaba, he went in, he came out. Usman bin Talha says, when these words were mentioned by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it struck me in my heart. And immediately there and there I wanted to accept Islam. But my people, when I've seen their attitude towards me and when they rebuked me, etc., I changed my mind. Anyway, it was said and done. After Hijrah, in the 8th year of Hijrah, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered into Makkah victorious, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to get the key from Usman bin Talha. Usman bin Talha, according to one riwayat, he went onto the top of the Kaaba, hiding, not to give the key. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala by force took the key away from Usman bin Talha. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam opened the Kaaba. He went inside, cleaned it, performed namaz. And when he came out from the Kaaba, he called for Usman bin Talha. Usman bin Talha came and he handed him this key. And he said, Usman, this key will remain with you and your family and your progeny up to the day of Qiyamah. And whosoever tries to snatch it away from you, he'll be a zalim. Until this very day, that key of the Kaaba remains with the same Sheba family. Recently, one person from the same family came down in the Jamaat. He came down to Marisburg also. Same family, up till this day. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi said that this key would remain with you and your family up to the day of Qiyamah. So nevertheless, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam handed him this key, very happily he took this key. Hazrat Abbas Radhiyallahu wanted the key. Hazrat Ali wanted the key. The Prophet gave it to Usman bin Talha. And when he was going away, the Prophet called Usman bin Talha and said, Usman, do you remember that time when I said to you that what will be the position when this key will be in my hands and I'll give it to whomsoever I desire? Usman says, yes, that time. Then it struck me, yes, Nabi Akram just mentioned this. Immediately there and there, he read the Shahada and he came to the fall of Islam. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, that this ayat was revealed inside the Kaaba. So when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out, he was reciting his ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this ayat, amanat. Plural for amanat, plural. Amanat. So amanat is not one, but amanat is many. Unfortunately, we only restrict amanat to just one aspect, and that is generally we think that if I gave somebody something to keep for me, some valuables, whatever it is, if he keeps it in his possession, then that is amanat. That is one aspect of amanat. Amanat is a very wide term. There's many things that are included in amanat. For example, the ilm that an alim possesses is an amanat. The wealth that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed you is an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your children, they are an amanat. Your students that are studying by you in a madrasa school, they are an amanat. Your post, your job is an amanat. Iqtidar, power, sovereignty, rule, leadership that Allah has given, it's an amanat. These are all different aspects of amanat. Your very life that Allah has given you, it's an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These body, these different parts of the body, the hands, the legs, the eyes, the ears, these are all amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's not permissible for you to donate any organ of your body. It doesn't belong to you, it belongs to Allah. It's an amanat. This very life doesn't belong to us. That's why if a person, when he commits suicide, he's going to be punished for that. It's a major sin. And the manner in which he committed suicide will be punished right through like this in the hereafter in the same manner. If he jumped from a huge mountain and he fell down and he committed suicide, or he took a gun and shot himself, the same punishment will be meted out to him in the hereafter as well. Why? Because this life doesn't belong to us, it belongs to Allah. So this is an amanat as well. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تُرُكُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّحْلُكَةِ. Don't cause destruction to yourself with your own hands. So this life belongs to Allah. This body belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an amanat. This wealth that me and you possess, this wealth is not our wealth. This wealth belongs to Allah. Allah has given it to us as an amanat. We say, no, we earned it through my intelligence, through my hard work, through my skill. Then that's the zahniyat and mentality of Qarun. When Qarun was said, وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةُ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That Allah Ta'ala has given you this wealth, seek the abode of the hereafter with this wealth. Don't forget your share in this dunya, etc., etc. What did he say? قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ إِنْدِي. He said, this wealth I got through my knowledge. Through my intelligence I got this knowledge, this wealth. So what happened? فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَادٍ. Allah Ta'ala swallowed him into this earth. So when man thinks that this wealth belongs to him, it is his, he's mistaken. It's an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we cannot use this wealth as we desire. That's why on the day of Qiyamah, if a person does not answer five questions, among them two questions is regarding his wealth. من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه. How did he earn his wealth and how did he spend this wealth? There's going to be questioned about this. So that's an amanat. Your children, this is an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your ta'deem, tarbiyat, upbringing of your children. How are you supposed to bring your children up? What akhlaq are you supposed to give and input into your children? That's very, very important, my respected brothers and elders. Unfortunately, today we are so much caught up in this rat race in this dunya, we don't even care about our children. We don't worry as far as the ta'lim is concerned, as far as the tarbiyat is concerned, who are they joining, who are their friends, what time they're coming home, what time are they going, whether they're in the salah. Nothing, we're not bothered. That's why there's so much of drug abuse, so much of alcohol abuse. Our children are being, we're losing our children because of this negligence from our part. Because we're so much involved in this chakkar of the dunya from morning to evening. Husband, wife, both of us are working. And we've got no time for our children. That's an amanat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question us regarding the children of the day of Qiyamah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Oh, you believe, save yourself and your children from the fire of Jahannam and your family. It's a responsibility. Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum masoolun ra'iyati. Every one of you is a shepherd. And you'll be questioned regarding your flock. But we don't regard this as an amanat. We don't give them the proper ta'lim and tarbiyat. We'll do everything that we can do as far as the dunya is concerned. One person, he spent so much of time, so much of money for his son. He gave him the best of education. He sent him abroad to different colleges and different universities. His son had a string of degrees attached to his name. He comes back home, and after some time, the father passes away. He's standing one side. Janaza Salah is taking place. He's standing one side. By your father's Janaza Namaz. He said, I don't know how to perform Janaza. He had a string of degrees attached to his name. Give him the best of education. But here the man can't perform Janaza for his father. Allahu Akbar. So what did the father achieve? He failed miserably in his responsibility to his son. He gave him all the degrees for this dunya, but nothing for the akhirat. Your children, this is a sawab jariya, the perpetual sawab for you. A waladin salin yad'u lahu. If you give them the proper ta'lim, tomorrow when you die, they will lead and they will bless you. This is what you require. So these children of yours, this is an amanah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Post, rank, position, job that you get, that's also an amanat. All governmental positions, as Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, all governmental positions, this is an amanat. It must be given to the person that is most capable of that particular job. In one riwayat, Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said that if a person appoints a person for a particular job, knowing full well that there is somebody else that is more capable of that particular job, then indeed he has betrayed Allah. He has betrayed Rasulullah ﷺ and has betrayed the Muslims. So this is an amanat. When you get rule, power, when Allah Ta'ala gives you the power, leadership, when you are in charge, then you have to make sure that when you are in charge, you are kind, you are gentle, you are caring, you worry about your subjects, about your people, those that are under your care. You have to be worried about them. You put their needs before your own needs. Like how Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, the Khulafa Rashid, the Sahabas, this was their manner, this was their life. They put the needs of other people before them. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu chose one home in Medina. This was a very old, physically disabled lady. And he said, I'm taking this home and I'm going to care for this lady. So he went to the house the first day. He found that everything was done, neat and everything, clean. There was no need to do anything. So he was worried. Who did this? The next day he went, again it was done. The third day he went early to see who it is. When he comes there, he sees none other than Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Comes, cleans the urine and stool of that old physically disabled lady, cleans the house, and then feeds her, and then he goes away. He said, Wallah, hey Abu Bakr, I can never beat you. These were the type of leaders that we had. They put the needs of other people before them. They cared for their subjects. They cared for their people. So this is an amanat. It's a responsibility. When you take that responsibility, you fulfill this amanat of yours. There must be insaf, there must be justice. These leaders have to meet our justice. It's an amanat. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was Amirul Mu'mineen, a Jew had stolen his armor. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu lodged a case in the court. The Qazi was Abu Shureh. And remember, this Qazi was appointed by Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu because he was the Amirul Mu'mineen. He appointed this Qazi, this judge. So he took this case to Abu Shureh, and he said to Abu Shureh that this is the problem, this man here is Yahudi, he stole my armor. So Abu Shureh asked Hazrat Ali radiallahu, who's Amirul Mu'mineen, have you any proof? He says, yes. I've got my son, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and I've got my slave, both will bear testimony to the fact that this armor belongs to me. Abu Shureh says that the son's testimony on behalf of the father will not be accepted. And the slave's testimony on behalf of the master will not be accepted. Have you got any other witness? Hazrat Ali radiallahu says that you don't accept the testimony of Hassan radiallahu regarding whom I hear Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that Hassan, Hussein, Sayyida Shababi Haril Jannah, they are going to be the leaders of those of the youth in Jannat, and you're not accepting his gawahi and his testimony. Qazi Abu Shureh said that ham to dunya andar maujood hai aur aap Jannat ki baat kar rahe hai. He said, we are here in this dunya, you talking about Jannat. Have you got any other witnesses? He says, no, I don't have. In the meantime, this Yahud was shocked at the insaf and the justice and fairness of Islam. So when they came out from that court, the Yahud came to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, who was Amirul Mu'mineen. He said to him, there is no doubt whatsoever in your truthfulness. But I've seen the beauty of Islam. And allow me to read the Shahada and come to the fold of Islam. He read the Shahada and he came to the fold of Islam. That's Islam, the beauty of Islam. That's how Islam was spread. Not by the sword, but the akhlaq, but the truthfulness, honesty, fairness and justice of Islam. So these are the type of leaders that we need. If you got these type of leaders, this is amanat, as I said to you. So respected brothers and elders, all this is amanat. The knowledge that a person, alim, possesses. Your children are an amanat, your wealth is an amanat, your post, your position, your job is an amanat, your students are amanat, all is amanat, your job, your sovereign, your leadership, your rule is an amanat, all this is amanat. Your body is an amanat, your body parts, these are all amanat. Allah is going to question you regarding what you've seen with your eyes, what you hear with your ears. Inna sam'a wal basara wal fada kullu ulaika kana mas'ula. Allah is going to question you about your ears, your eyes, your heart, all these things. But I want to explain to you today, what is the biggest amanat, the greatest amanat? All these amanats, the biggest amanat. What is it? That amanat which the heavens refuse to accept, which the earth refuse to accept, which the mountains refuse to accept. Insan accepted that amanat. That amanat, when it was revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to feel the weight and the thiqal and the burden of that amanat. If he was mounted on a camel, the camel used to sit and cringe because of the weight of that amanat. If it was a cold day, the Prophet used to perspire because of this amanat. Allah Ta'ala said 124,000 Anbiya with this amanat. Inna radna al-amanata al-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal fa'abayna yahminna wa ashfaqna minha wa hamalaha al-insan. Allah Ta'ala says, we presented this amanat to the heavens, to the earth, to the mountains. They refused to accept it. They were afraid to accept this. Wa hamalaha al-insan, insan took the responsibility of carrying this amanat. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Insan is a zalim and jahil, Allah Ta'ala says. What is that amanat and responsibility of elders? It is this Quran, it is this deen, it is this sharia which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. That's that amanat, the biggest amanat, the greatest amanat of all. Respected brothers and elders, this great amanat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, it's a responsibility. When Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala sent down the ayat, Ya Rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik, wa illam tafal fama ballaghta risalata. Ya Rasul, convey what has been revealed to you. And if you don't do this, then you haven't fulfilled the responsibility of risalat. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left no stone unturned in ensuring that this da'wat of risalat, this da'wat reaches every person. He didn't see morning, evening, day, night, hot, cold, hunger, thirst, nothing came in the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the propagation of this da'wat. Until the time came, respected brothers and elders, in that historical maidan of Arafat, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered his khutbah, he asked the people, أنتم تسألون أني. You are going to be questioned regarding me. فما أنتم قائلون. What are you going to say? You are going to be questioned regarding me. Did I convey this message, this responsibility, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusted me with? Did I convey it to the people or not? All the people that were present in that Maidan of Arafat, 124,000 approximately Sahaba were present there. All of them said, قَالُوا نَشْهَدُوا أَنَّكَ قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ وَأَدَّيْتَ وَنَسَحْتَ. We testify, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that indeed you have fulfilled the responsibility. There were those people that were impolite and rude to you, that swore at you. There were those people that threw thorns on your path, that pelted you with stones. Yet, Ya Rasulullah, you embraced them. You put flowers on their path. You made dua for them. And you illuminated their hearts with the nur of this amanat, with the nur of this iman, with this deen. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then raises his shahada finger and he says, Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad. Ya Allah, you bear witness. You bear witness to this, that these people have testified that I have conveyed the message. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدَ الْغَائِبِ. Those that are present here now, is their responsibility that they must convey this message to those that are not present. Respected brothers and elders, if you find, take a survey, you'll find that approximately only about 10, plus minus 10,000 qabrs of the sahabas are there in Medina. 120,000, 124,000 sahabas are present in Maidan Arafat. Where are they? When this announcement was made by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of them left to different cities, to different countries, different lands to propagate this message. فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدَ الْغَائِبِ. This message, this amanat, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam entrusted to his ummat. We ask ourselves the question, did the Sahaba not love Medina? Did he not love Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They loved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They loved Medina. They loved the streets and the gullies of Medina. They loved the orchards of Medina. They loved the houses and buildings of Medina. They loved Masjid al-Nabawi. They loved everything of Medina. We always make dua, Ya Allah. if we have to pass away, take our life in Medina. We, so much of love we have for Medina ourselves. Sahabas were there. They didn't have that love. They had that love in their hearts. But respected brothers and elders, there are two choices. One choice, stay put in Medina. With that love of Medina in their hearts. Read namaz in Masjid Nabawi. And let the entire mankind drown in kufr and shirk. Drown in zulmat and darkness. And the other choice was, keep the love of Medina in their hearts. But move out to different cities, different countries, different lands. With this amanat, to illuminate the hearts of those people that don't have this amanat. Put nur into the hearts of this amanat, this trust, this iman. The sahabas chose the second one. They left the beloved city of Medina and they went out far and wide with this same amanat, with this same responsibility to convey this message to everybody. Respected brothers and elders, ask yourself, let us ask ourselves this question. If the sahabas remained in Medina, and if they didn't go out, what would have been my position and your position today? Somebody should be ringing some church bell. Somebody should be sitting in some synagogue. Somebody should be sitting in some temple. Allah forbid. It was the sacrifice of the sahaba, respected brothers and elders. They left the city of Medina, the beloved city of Medina, and they went out, and because of their sacrifice, today me and you are sitting in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with iman. Allahu Akbar. So we ask ourselves this question. How much have we fulfilled this amanat? Sahabas did this. The tabi'in did it. The tabi'in, awliya kiram did it. They carried this responsibility of the amanat and they conveyed it to the people. How much have we taken upon ourselves to convey this message, this amanat? It is for this purpose, my respected brothers and elders, that we have these jamaats, tabligh jamaat, people moving from masjid to masjid, town to town, state to state, country to country, for the same reason, to make us understand that Allah has given us a great responsibility, this amanat, and we have to convey this amanat to other people. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has placed this responsibility on our shoulders. And it is for this purpose, respected brothers and elders, that ijtimaas take place. To make us realize our purpose. To make us understand why Allah Ta'ala has sent us and what responsibility Allah Ta'ala has given us. Otherwise, we are like that serpent that is sitting on a treasure. The serpent doesn't benefit itself and doesn't allow others to benefit. We have got this amanat, we have got this deen, we have got this sharia. We're sitting with it like a serpent on the treasure. We're not benefiting ourselves and not allowing others to benefit also. It is for this purpose, alhamdulillah, that we're having an ijtima that is taking place on the 14th, 15th and 16th next month in Spingo Beach. To make us realize this amanat and make sure that we also illuminate our hearts with this amanat and try to illuminate the hearts of other people also with this amanat. So respected brothers and elders, an urge and appeal is made to one and all that we should at least come and participate in that ijtima. Who knows, it may be a turning point in our lives. We should encourage others also to come and participate in an ijtima. Our friends, our families, our workers, our associates, our musallis and our masjid, respective masajis. Encourage them to come and participate in that ijtima. Who knows if the person comes into that ijtima and one bayan he listens and he changes his life. Fusta wa rabbil kawa. You kamyab. Whatever amal as salat that person does for his entire life thereafter because of this, you will get sawab for that. I remember Bhai Padre Rahmatullah Ali used to say, he said that when there is a wedding, you go out house to house, door to door, you give everybody dawat to come. Why? Because you know, making two hearts meet, boy and a girl, to unite two hearts. Bhai Padre said that when you know, unite the heart of the entire ummah, how much more effort you have to make? But just for dawat, for a wedding, you go house to house inviting everybody, come. Come for my son's or daughter's wedding. What is it? You make effort. But to unite the heart of the ummah, how much more effort have you have to make? So we have to make that effort, respected brothers and sisters. encourage as much people as possible to come and participate in Ijtima. And inshallah, it may be a turning point in their life. And if they change, then you are kamyab. And if not, Allah will still reward you for that. We must all make an effort to come and participate in that Ijtima, inshallah. Allah give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.